Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So just about 9 years ago, when I was brand spanking new to Mount Olivet, I preached my first sermon on a communion Sunday. I knew that the sermons on those days needed to be a little shorter, but apparently I did not know just how short. Because when I greeted my wife as she came into the 10 a.m. service, she looked at me, her eyes narrowed a little bit, and she said, "You preach too long." Taking in my look of surprise, she continued, "I've been sitting on 50th for about 10 minutes waiting to get in the parking lot." That was, as I said, about 9 years ago, and I haven't been allowed to preach at a communion Sunday service since. So, feeling the pressure of the moment, I'll simply say that while there is a lot going on in St. Luke's story of two disciples encountering Jesus on the road to Emmaus, three things in particular stand out, which means that, by my reckoning, I've got about a minute and a half for each of those. So let's get to it. First, only St. Luke tells this rather long story, and if you were to pull it out entirely from Luke's gospel, you would not even notice, as the verse just before the story connects to the verse just after the story seamlessly, which means that Luke adds this story to the standard collection of Easter stories in the gospels because he thinks it matters. Because it shares something important, something Luke really wants us to know. Second, this story contains what I think are about the four saddest words in Scripture. Recall the scene. It is evening of the first Easter, and two disciples are walking from Jerusalem, where they've just heard some very strange reports about Jesus' tomb, to their home in Emmaus, about 7 miles away. A stranger comes alongside them. It's Jesus, but they don't or can't recognize him. He asks why they're sad, and they're amazed that he hasn't heard about all that's been happening. So they start telling him about their teacher, friend, and Lord Jesus, a prophet, mighty in word and deed, who was put to death by the religious and political authorities. And then come those four words. "But we had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel." But we had hoped. How often have we said the same? But we had hoped this relationship would be the one. But we had hoped the cancer would go into remission. But we had hoped our child would beat addiction. But we had hoped. Few things are harder than having your hopes not just disappointed, but crushed by the harsh reality of this world. Third, after Jesus, as St. Luke writes, opens up the scriptures to them, the two disciples ask him to spend the night with him. It's late, it's getting dark, and the roads are now dangerous. And then Luke records this. "When they were at table together, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them." Does that sound familiar? The words are nearly identical to what Jesus says at the Last Supper that happened just a few days earlier, and they are nearly identical to the words that you will hear in a few moments as we share together the Lord's Supper. And when the disciples hear those words, their eyes are opened. They recognize Jesus. He vanishes from their sight, and all they can say is, "Were not our hearts burning as he opened up the scriptures to us?" That is, once again, we have hope. And surprised by that hope, they immediately get up and go back to Jerusalem, making the 7-mile trek on now dark and dangerous roads, because they can't help but want to share that surprising, empowering hope with their friends. I said earlier that Luke shares this extra story because he thinks it's important. Think for a moment about what's just happened. Two disciples are feeling down, discouraged, hopeless. Until that is, the scriptures are opened. Bread is blessed, broken, and shared, and they experience Jesus' presence and promises and are renewed and encouraged and have to go tell others about it. The story is important to Luke because through it, he is making a promise to his congregation. Think about it. None of the people in Luke's community knew Jesus in the flesh. None of them got to see his miracles or hear his parables firsthand, let alone see and touch his resurrected body. And so Luke tells this story of an encounter with Jesus that sure sounds a lot like what we do every Sunday here at church. In the sermon, we have the scriptures opened up to us. And in the meal we're about to share, we will hear Jesus' familiar words and receive Jesus' promises. You know, we call the wafer we will soon receive the body of Christ because we believe and confess that through this simple, ordinary food, Jesus is present for us, really. We also call the gathered people of God here, the body of Christ, because we believe and confess that through this simple, ordinary group of people, Jesus is present with us, really. Which means that anytime you are feeling down or discouraged, you can come here to church and hear the scriptures opened and receive Jesus' promises and presence, whether through communion or through the simple but profound fellowship we enjoy, and be surprised and encouraged by hope. Because that is just what Jesus does, you see. Comes to us when we least expect it. When our hopes have been crushed by the realities of this world and we wonder if we have any faith left. And comes to us where we least expect it. Through simple words, a fairly meager meal, and through ordinary, far from perfect people to share his presence with us, to surprise us with his love, to create in us hope, and to send us out to share that hope and love with everyone we meet. So, let's get to it. Come, hear, receive, be surprised and renewed by hope, and then go. Thanks be to God. Amen.